Okay, we continue in the Gemara Makkos 4b. We're at the end, only four lines left to 4b, so it's probably the last 4b that you have. Mm-hmm. Whatever. It's going to start with the words Verabonon. Have you got that?
Oh, other page.
Verabonon. You want me to...
It's a brainstorm. Oh,
here, just give it to me.
I'll put it over there. I got it.
Okay, Verabonon. What's going on over here? Well, yeah, I'm four. No, you're going the wrong way.
That's why.
Verabonon, right over here.
Okay, perfect.
4B3, left hand side. You got to put a marker, guys. Put a marker. Just put a marker.
On your screen,
just take a little. Take one of those little brown pieces of paper. Put a marker. Good. Okay. Now we interrupted our sugya, and now we're coming back to the original sugya in the Mishnah, and the commentary here fills us in so we can have a quick review. We go back to the Mishnah, the Machlokes, the Tana Kama, and Reb Meir. Really, was two issues over there. Remember, you have Adim Zomamim. Either for falsely testifying that somebody owes someone $200, or Eidim Zomimim falsely testifying that someone's supposed to get lashes. In both cases, the rabbis say that we do not give him both punishments, while Reb Meir says that we do give both punishments. And specifically in the second half of the Mishnah, Reb Meir says that we give them 80 lashes. 40 for having violated the prohibition of lo sana bereyacha eid shaker, you shall not bear false witness, and another 40 lashes, because that's what they wanted to give the guy, and that's what they were going to give the guy. To which the rabbis say, no, you only get 40 lashes, you lash him for what he planned to do, and not the other thing. Okay? So that's the point. Over here, and just to go back to the previous Mishnah, previous page.
That one doesn't make sense.
Right? This Mishnah, we had the case of the $200, and Rabbi Meir said, you're going to pay the $200, and you're going to get the lashing, and the Chachamim say, no, anyone who pays doesn't get lashed. Right? So it seems to be consistent that the rabbis are saying we punish him for kasher zomam, and we don't punish him for the losana bereacha eid shaker. And the Gemara that we were in the midst of, they said, well, the Rabbanan made sense because they say you don't give two punishments for one action. Remember, according to one punishment and not for both. That was this statement over here. You only punish for one and not for both. So how do you get for both? And what's Reb Meir's? That's what Ula said. He learned from Motzi Shemra. Motzi Shemra, a defamer gets lashed and pays the money. So the same thing over here. You can see that you get lashed and you pay money. And while the rabbis did, but we had a question, wait a minute, but it's a knas. How can I from a class? So we say to Rabbi Meir, holds like Rabbi Akiva, that Adim Zomim is a knas, right? To which it must be then that the rabbis who disagree say that Eidim Zomim is not a knas. So we're starting to add up all the names. Who holds it's a knas? Who holds it's not a knas? We got Rabbi Meir saying it's not a knas. It is a knas. Rabbi Akiva saying it is a knas. But the Chum is saying it's not a knas. Okay. So with all that in mind, let's now pick up the story over here again. Back to Verabonim. Okay, so now the rabbis, going back even to the second case now with the double lashing, but much simpler, the question is, Hilo sana b'rei shoker my dor shibe. What are they going to do with the pasuk of the Ten Commandments that say you shall not bear false witness? In other words, the Torah gives you a statement of the Torah. It's got to be for a reason. What I'm meaning to say is, God just doesn't say, don't bear false witness, but then there's no legal punch behind it. You know, oh, this is a suggestion. You shouldn't bear false witness. Well, if you're telling me that, then something's going to happen because of it. You know, for example, you shall not muzzle your animals. It's okay, I'm going to do it anyway. No. The Torah says you shall not, and because we told you you shall not, you're going to get lashed for it. So that's why it says you shall not muzzle your animal. You know why? Because if you don't, I don't want you to do it, and if you do it, you're going to get lashed. Oh, now I understand why it said that. Now, why did the Torah say thou shalt not bear false witness? I said, so I'm going to. So there's got to be some teeth to it. So according to Reb Meir, there's a heck of a lot of teeth to it. That is a negative commandment, and you will be lashed for it. Now, it's not always easy to implement the psak, because you don't always know when a guy's falsely lying. We can't, God's saying, I don't want you to do it. You could do it, and we could never know if you're lying or not. But if we know you're doing it, then you're going to get it. Now, when are you going to get it? You're going to get it, for example, by Adim Zomamim. Where Adim Zomamim, according to Rabbi Meir, that's exactly what it's saying, where we can for sure know that you lied falsely. Now, the only case that is ever, how do you ever know a guy lies falsely, right? It's when he's an Eid Zomim. I mean, where else can that happen? So therefore, according to Reb Meir, it's very good. We know why the Torah wrote, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." Korach Chacham say, no, we don't lash him for that. When he's Adim Zomimim, we just lash them we give them what they wanted to give the other guy. Right. If it was a monetary punishment, we give him the monetary punishment. And we don't lash him. That's Chamim, remember? Chamim say, if he lied that this guy should get lashes, okay, we'll give him lashes for being an Eid Zomim, and an Eid Zomim gets what he wanted to give. We're not going to lash him another time for swearing falsely. So rabbis don't learn from that. So what are you going to do with it? It's just not, it's there for no reason. It's there, but there's no teeth to it. Right? That's what he's saying. How do they explain the verse such that they dispute Reb Meir maintained the witness in this case receives only one set of lashes for the verse as he planned, and not also for the second set? Now, here's an interesting point, an interesting question. Wait a minute, we discussed the rabbis before. Remember we said, well, you don't get two punishments because you only get kidei rishah, so according to one punishment, right? So now the Gemara does not simply assume, as it did regarding the first dispute in the Mishnah, that the rabbi's reason is the verse kidei rishah, so his wickedness, which teaches that a person cannot receive two punishments for a single deed. For kidei rishah, so precludes receiving only malchus and another type of penalty, execution or monetary payment. Or receiving more than one set of lashes is not excluded by this principle, since they're both the same type of punishment. In other words, we can't just fall back and say, well, why doesn't he get lashed twice? Because it's two separate lashes. That even according to his wickedness, but it's the same thing twice, so you would even get that. So we're kind of stuck. What are you going to do with this pasuk? So Gemara comes up with a very interesting answer. Remember, we set a rule that in order to get a punishment, how many verses in the Torah do you need to get you to get punished for anything?
Two.
Why? One's got to be the warning not to do it, and the other one is to tell us what the punishment is. Right? We got to have that. So now, let's think about this. So, Adim Zomamim, the Torah says the punishment of Adim Zomamim. It says if two people perpetrated and tried to do something and we find out that they're liars, isn't that we give them the punishment they want to give him? That is the punishment. Where's the warning that you can't be an Eid Zomim? Thou shalt not bear false witness. That's going to be the answer. In other words, you know what we need it for? We need it to warn you not to lie. Well, what for? Because when you are an Eid Zomim, now we can punish the power says we punish you. You gave you a warning not to lie, and now we're going to tell you what the punishment is when you lie. And really, the only case that really comes into play, how can we ever prove that you swore falsely, right, is if Eid Zomamim. Usually, there's still some other cases, as we're learning in the Rambam and Asham Gzelos. If a guy denied owning someone money, and then we find out he's lying, then there's some other issues there. But anyway, this is a classic case. So now, So this is going to be the answer. Hahumi boile, the Chacham are going to say, we need this pasuk. La'azhara la'edim zomim. It's the warning to what will happen to Eid Zomim. Right? Yeah, this is all what I explained to you. It's all that stuff. I just spoke it all out over here. Okay? Okay. Now, but then we're up to a question. Okay? The question arises, in light of this answer, why did the Gemara need to state at the beginning of the Amud, when it discussed the first case of the Mishnah, which Zomim attempted to make their victim pay money, that the reason for the rabbi's opinion that the witnesses do not both receive Malkus for the prohibition, or shalt not bear false witness, and pay an account of as he's planned, is the verse Kidei Rishaso. They said, well, you can't get two punishments. Well, why not use the same explanation given here, that the verse you shall not bear false witness cannot serve as a source for a Malkus penalty, because it's needed for the warning for the reciprocal penalty for as he planned. In other words, what are you bothering? You don't have to have that first answer anymore. We're using, why does he say you don't get both? Because we need it for the warning. We need it for the warning. Tosos answered, the requirement that a punishment have a scriptural warning is true only of a corporal punishment. Monetary punishments, however, require no scriptural warning. That becomes the chilek. You don't need a scriptural warning. So that takes care of that question. Fine. But now we have to flip it around. So if Rabbi Meir uses thou shalt not bear false witness as the punishment, so where's the warning according to Rabbi Meir? You see? Yeah. Where's the warning according to Rebbeir? He's saying, well, this means you're going to get lashed for bearing false witness. Very good. Where's the warning? The Chachamim say, this is the warning for Edim Zomimim. Okay? But Rabbi Meir is saying, no, we know you get lashed on top of what you get for Edim Zomimim because it says, thou shalt not bear false witness. So, okay, so you want to say, that's fine, but where's the warning for that? You don't have it. We have it. We don't have the warning. So, Rabbi Meir, it's a question of Rabbi Meir. Ashara le Edim Zomim ale. Where is the warning to Edim Zomimim for their reciprocal penalty? And you can't get it from Lo Sana, right? Since if he did, there would be no separate Malkus for violating the injunction. Its punishment would be limited to the Zomim penalty. So, where are you going to learn the warning from there? Some Rabbi Yirmiyah, there's another pasuk that tells us the warning. Nafkale, it's kind of an interesting warning. It says over here by Edim Zomimim, let's look at the pasuk, where it talks about false, we should look at the whole pasuk. Let's look here. Dvorim Yutes Chaf, 1 second. Where is it? Dvorim Yutes Chaf.
Oh, you're close, Rabbi. Just go back a few.
No, it's easier this way. Okay. Is it Yutes Chaf? Yeah. This is Hazama, right? It's all Hazama. Starting from over here. Kiyoka made Chamas, a false witnesses arise, blah, blah, blah. They seek it out. They find that he's liars. Now in 19. Vasisim lo kesher zomim lasos. We do as he wanted to do. Uviyartim echem burn out from the midst. What's this next pasuk doing over here? 20. Vanisharim, and those that remain, Yishmu v'yiro, will listen and will be afraid. V'yosivu lasos od kadavar aseh, and they will not continue to do such a thing, yikabecha in your midst. Okay, very interesting. Like, why mention that? We say, do to them what they want to do to the fellow. Why is the Torah now telling us all this extra stuff? Everybody should be afraid and all that. So therefore, the Gemara is saying, that's the warning. That's the warning. So that it's by Edim Zomim. Now this becomes the warning. People should be afraid and they shouldn't do it anymore. So that becomes the warning. That is, what do you need that pasuk for? That is the warning. People should hear, should be afraid, and they shouldn't, and they're not going to do it anymore. So that becomes the warning to that. Okay?
So the warning is a pasuk, right?
Yeah, it always has to be a pasuk.
Yes, but I thought in real life, you have when I want
to say. No, we're talking. You're mixing up two things. Mm-hmm. There's before someone does something, we must physically warn them.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
But then, in general, in Jewish jurisprudence, in the law books, the law books have to have a warning stated and a punishment stated. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about. When the actual thing happens, we have to play it out. Yeah. You got to warn them and say, you're not allowed to do this, and if you do, this is going to be the punishment. Okay, but you got to have it in the book. So where is it in the books? So, well, very good. You have this whole extra pasuk. It's all extra pasuk, and the people there should hear and be afraid. Why? Because we don't want you to do it. That becomes the warning. Oh, well, okay, that's fine.
Comes after the punishment?
But it's written in the Torah.
So the Torah was written
before we did anything. We're supposed to learn the whole Torah, and then we have to follow the laws. So when the Torah writes, it's not like after the first guy got punished, now we do it. No, the Torah's writing it before any of this happened. So the Torah's writing as we're learning it. So remember, we're learning it. We want to hear warnings. We want to hear punishments. So we got a punishment due to him as he wanted to do. That's the punishment, right? So the rabbis say the warning is that pasuk, right? So where's going to be the warning for them? So he's going to say, the warning for Edim Zomim is this pasuk here.
What do you mean by all who remain?
Everybody who watches and sees, we punish the Edim Zomim. Everybody else, me, you, all of us. You're in a city. You're in a city, right? Yeah. And two guys say, so-and-so killed somebody. Whoa, it's in the news. No, you're talking about it, yeah? And then, I never knew that Schwartz was such a terrible guy that he was Chayav Nisa. Then come another two witnesses and disprove the first witness is, now you're going to find out, what do we do to such guys? We kill them. So now all of us schmoozing about it are going to talk about it. You got to be
warning.
That's the warning.
What about the warning to the guy who did it?
What did we say?
Different punishment.
Remember what we said yesterday? What we said, was it with you?
Yeah, you talked
about the chiddush of Edim Zomimim, it's a chiddush, does not need a warning. Okay. This is two separate things. You guys are maybe confusing. Yeah. There's two separate things. There is a law book. The law book must be written in a certain way. The law book, called the Torah, if it doesn't want you to do something and wants you to get punishment, it's going to have one pasuk that says, you shouldn't do this,
and
another pasuk that says punishment. That you need it, so now it's possible to punish somebody for that. That's one thing. So how do we know you're going to get punished for Edim Zomimim? Well, there's one pasuk that says, this is the punishment. And then there's got to be a warning.
Right.
And there's a debate between the Chachamim and Rameir. What is exactly the warning for Edim Zomimim? Chachamim is saying the warning is, thou shalt not bear false witness. Rameir is saying the warning is, and all the people that remain will hear and be afraid. That's the warning.
It's another warning.
Not another warning. He doesn't learn the first pasuk as a warning. He learns the first pasuk is for the lashing, as the punishment of lashing.
But that's what we need, a warning and a punishment.
Fine. We both have the warning and the punishment. There's a machlokas, Rav Meir and the Chachamim. What exactly is the warning? They all agree what the punishment is. The Torah says you'll do to them what they wanted to do. What's the warning? The rabbis say the warning is thou shalt not bear false witness.
Right.
Rabbi Meir, use that pasuk for something else. So he can't use it for a warning. He's learning to say that's why you're getting lashed a second time. Right? So he will use, people will hear and be afraid. That's the warning for Edim Zomimim. Fine. That's that point. That's one issue. Now it's a separate issue that has nothing to do with our discussion here. The separate issue is, but now in practice, how does it ever happen that someone gets punished? This is in the books. Now that the books gave, the Torah says you can't do this. This is the punishment. Okay, now we have the law. Now, separate thing. How do we apply the law? So in almost all the time, 99% of the time, you apply the law is before the person sins, we have to warn him verbally and tell him you can't do this and this is the punishment if you're lying. And then he does it, he gets punished. There's an exception to the rule, as we said yesterday, Edim Zomimim do not need to be warned. In action. That we said yesterday was the Why would we want to learn from the whole Torah this thing from him? In action, we don't warn them because really it's not possible. You don't know that he's lying yet. But the Torah is still saying we're going to do it to them. So we got the Torah in the books has to warn you against doing it. Torah in the books, that's what the punishment is. So now we're empowered to act on it,
but in
practice, we don't have to. But that's the exception to the rule. But one has nothing to do with the other. It's two separate issues over here. It makes sense. Or else, how will you ever punish them? How will you ever punish them? You can't say, we're warning you that you shouldn't be lying. Well, how do you know they're lying?
Yeah.
That's not possible. So the Torah is saying, you're going to get punished even though there is no warning in the reality.
Yeah.
You follow?
It's interesting we still need a pasuk for warning even though...
You need, because how do we know that God wants you to get the... You have to always warn, you don't. Yeah. I don't want you to do it. Yeah. That's the general rule. We don't want you to do it. And we don't, and this is the punishment.
Are there times where there's no punishment? It's just a warning?
Not in a lav.
You didn't do it.
Not in a lav. That's why all the Gemara's in Sanhedrin. Every time we turn the page in Sanhedrin, that's the punishment. Where's the warning? Here's the warning. Where's the punishment? This is not the first time we've come across this. Okay. So therefore, that's just the rule. You can't. Maybe I should have backed it up and go through the English over here. I guess my explanation was not here. The Gemara takes as axiomatic in various places the Torah would not state a punishment for a particular act without warning that the act is forbidden.
Right.
Thus, it's not uncommon to find that after identifying the scriptural source for the punishment for a particular sin, the Gemara will ask, we have learned a punishment from where to the scriptural warning. Mm-hmm. That's what we're saying over here. All right, that's the whole point. Okay, that's the common rule. Okay, very good. Now we got one last problem. Okay, so according to Rabbi Meir, that pasuk of, and the people shall hear and all this, that's the warning, yeah?
Yeah.
And that makes sense. It's like an extra pasuk, so it makes sense. It's there to be a warning. The question is, what are the rabbis going to do with that extra pasuk? For Rabbanan, how do they explain the need for that verse? Because according to them, we already have the warning for Edim Zomimim from Thou Shalt Not Bear False Witness.
Right.
So he said, well, there's another interesting thing we do with Edim Zomimim that's a little bit different than other things, and that's what this pasuk is telling us. Hahu, this extra pasuk, we need it for going to the top of Hey Amid Aleph 5a, Lehachraza, to make the proclamation. In other words, the court must publicly, every ruling that a court does, you know, you have a debate, this guy and that guy, monetary issue. Well, they don't publish and announce this was the ruling. Reuven claimed 100 from Shimon, and we decided he has to be. We don't proclaim all. It's not anybody's business. But Edim Zomim, when there is a case of Zomim, although 99% of them, we don't ever tell anybody what the rulings are. This one, you got to tell everybody what the rulings are. They make an announcement. So and so are being executed for testifying falsely. You've got to. It's saying so others will hear and be afraid. Not everything you always have to do. A guy eats treif, we lash him. Not everybody needs to know about that. You don't have to publicly humiliate him. He did the sin, and that's fine. Keep it in the court. No one has to know. You know, you don't have to leak it to the New York Times to put it out for everybody to know that Rabbi so-and-so, an Orthodox rabbi, was caught eating treif and was warned and got lashed.
You're dating yourself. You don't have to tweet it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, fine. But there's still a New York Times.
Amen.
Anyway, so that's the Chiddush. The Gemara in Sanhedrin derives from Scripture that the case is only one of four cases of execution in which such a proclamation is required. Right? So that's interesting. So therefore, that's what we need the pasuk for, to the public proclamation. So what's going to be the next question, the Gemara?
What's Rabbi Meir going to do?
How does Rabbi Meir learn you have to make a public proclamation? Because
right.
He's using it for the warning. V'Rabbi Meir, Hachroza. V'Rabbi Meir, Hachroza. Where's that going to come from? From the last two words, Miyishmu V'Yiro'u. They will hear and they will be afraid. In other words, from the earlier phrase, they shall hear afraid. leaving the end of the verse, and they shall not continue to do it further. That's the warning. In other words, he breaks the pasuk up into two parts. He says, they shall hear, they shall fear. That's the public proclamation. They shall not do it further. That's the warning not to be an Eid Zomim. The Rabbanan don't splice it up that way. They just say one whole pasuk, and that's...
We compare it to, thou shalt not bear false witness as a warning.
You're right. Saying so for the rabbi.
Rav Meir, it's pretty weak what he's doing.
Rav Meir... But Meir is saying, thou shalt, what, for the warning?
Yeah, that's pretty weak.
No, it's warning for Eidim Zomimim.
I know,
but
right.
It's a case of Eidim Zomimim.
I know. But
that doesn't make it so weak. That's the case of Eidim.
Compared to, thou shalt not bear false witness, it's pretty bang on as a warning.
Yeah,
it's a stronger warning than that.
Okay, so we're saying that is going to tell you why you get, that's going to tell you you need to have to know the pun, that it's something punishable. Right, you have to know that it's something that's going to get a punishment. So that's the difference. Okay, it's he used it for other things. I have to know that this is something you get lashed for.
Yeah, I know.
Because if you don't have that, how are you going to get lashed for it? And then Rabbi Sirachom said, well, you don't get lashed for it, so I don't need it for that. So I use it for the warning. That is the end of the sugya.
Okay, Rabbi.
So it comes out, we've got a lot of people taking different sides of what you're going to do with thou shalt not bear false witness. Is that the law that we're going to lash these Eidim Zomimim for being Eidim Zomimim, and then we have a warning for somewhere else? Or is that just a warning that Eidim Zomimim get punished as Eidim Zomimim?
Right.
Okay, good.
Because this is treated so detailed and detailed so many. Does that mean that this is one of the worst sins one can do?
Yes.
It is.
You tell me why.
Well, you're dealing with somebody...
Even in the secular world, what is one of the biggest crimes you get punished for?
Yeah.
What did the whole game with Trump, the whole thing, why did the special counsel want to speak to Trump when they knew he had nothing new to say? Why did they want to do it? The only reason... No! Throw him in a perjury trap. Even in the Goyish world, perjury is the worst thing because if you're not honest in a court, the whole system falls apart.
Yeah, right.
So Eidim Zomimim, what are you telling me? If you lie in a court, that our whole system of jurisprudence is based on people telling the truth in court. If you don't have that, there's no civil system. Right? You expect the police to be the KGB and have every house bugged and cameras everywhere so we could see every crime you do? No, you have to have witnesses that we believe the witnesses, they testify, and that's what happens. So that is it's the opposite. The world, God built the world on truth. Society can only... What if I tell you, we'll make a deal, I'm going to pay you $10,000 for this, and then I turn around and give you $10? And you said, but I have witnesses. But the witnesses, who cares? We can't trust the witnesses anyway. So that's where we always... Think about it. Two people walk in a court and say that guy killed somebody... We're going to kill the guy.
That's very, very bad.
We're going to kill us. Well, do we have the murder weapon? No, we don't have the murder weapon, but we have your word. Well, if you're going to kill someone with your word, man, if you're going to lie, we want everybody to know what happens to you. And that's why you make such a big deal about it. Okay, let's start the next Mishnah. We got another 5 minutes or so.
How come Rabbi Meir can learn two things from one pasuk?
He's not.
Different words.
It's two halves of a pasuk.
Okay. Split it up.
Uh-huh. Two halves of a pasuk. He learns one thing from one part of the pasuk and one part from the other part of the pasuk. Chachamim say, no, they don't split it up. Okay, next case now. Now when we deal about Eidim, here's the next question. Eidim Zomim who lie. Okay, let's say they lie about the guy owed $200, he didn't. Okay, now we prove they're liars. Okay, what do we exactly do to the Eidim Zomim? They have to pay, right? Tell me exactly, you have two guys, tell me exactly how much each guy pays.
Same amount.
What is that?
$20 or whatever.
$200. They both pay
$200.
Yeah. Okay, let's see what the Mishnah has to say about that.
Because they're both, if they were individual.
Okay, what if they say this guy has to get 40 lashes and they're proven liars? What do we do to both? To both them?
Get 40 lashes.
So they both pay $200, they both get 40 lashes. Okay, the Mishnah disagrees with you. It's okay. That's why we're learning Torah. The Gemara Mishnah says, "Mishal shalin b'mamon." We divide the penalty in monetary cases. Okay, vein mishal shalin b'makas, and we don't divide it by lashes. Kate said, "Let's have an example." If they testified about a person, he owed his fellow 200 zuz. So we found that they're liars. We divided between them. Each one pays $100. If it was four witnesses, let's say, then each one pays $50. Right. We're only interested in the 200. Now we're going to have to pay the whole thing. Gemara will ask, why? What's the difference? What if they say he's supposed to get 40 lashes? They're liars. Each one gets the 40 lashes. So now what's going to be the obvious question? What's the difference?
Yeah.
That's Gemara's question. Where do we get a distinction to say a difference between the lashes and the money? I don't know why this keeps happening. Amar Abaye, Nemar, it's a Xeris HaKosu. It's a Xeris Shava. Let's see. It's really a Pasuk. It's God's wisdom, and we wouldn't intuit this. It says, Rasha Bechaive Malkius. When it talk about lashes, it says, you see the Pasuk, Vahoya Imbin HaKos HaRasha. We already said that that's the case. Remember we said, even though it doesn't exactly say it's Edim Zomimim, but we say the time when it tells you about lashes, it's Edim Zomim, if you recall. Remember the Pasuk? We want to know what was the source that you lash Edim Zomim? And it says, guys come to court and we justify the righteous guy and make guilty the guilty guy and this and that. You lash. Since when do you lash a guy for that? So we say that's the case of Edim Zomim where you get the lashes, although it's not directly mentioned. So he says, and it shall be that if the Russia is the guilty one, he's liable for lashes. What does it call the guy who gets lashes? He's called a Russia. A guy who gets lashes is a Russia. Okay. Venemar also says, when we give a guy a death penalty, it also uses the word Russia, b'chayve mises bezin. When the Torah talks about a capital punishment, calls the guy a Russia too. It says that he is a Russia to die. Let's look at the pasuk. V'losikhu kofer l'nefesh rotzech. You don't accept ransom for the life of a murderer. Let's say a guy killed someone. Okay, he'll pay off a lot of money. He'll pay $10 million to the family. No. Asher Russia lomus. Because he's a Russia. Just say Asher hu lomus. Why do you have to say he's a Russia? Kimos, you must. In both cases, they have to say he's a Russia. He's obviously a Russia. We're talking about a murderer.
Yeah.
Is he not a Russia?
Yeah.
Couldn't we say, V'lo sikhu kofer l'nefesh rotzeach lomus? Why do you got to say Asher hu Russia? And also by the case of lashes that we had before. He didn't have to say... Again, Russia b'chayv rishis v'yim bin hakos haRasha. Just say bin hakos so lash him. So it says Russia by lashes. Say lashes by the death penalty. What is that teaching us? Well, can you kill a guy in half?
No.
Can you give a guy half a death penalty?
No.
So ma lahalanein misalamechzer. Just like by execution, you can't execute a guy halfway. The gzeirah shavah says avkanein malchusman. There's no such thing as initially executing a lashes for only half, right? So it's not called lashes. Just like a death penalty isn't a death unless you give him the whole thing. Lashes is not called lashes unless you give him what he's completely supposed to get. That doesn't discount the fact the guy's a sickly person. We can reduce the lashes, but he's given 40. Now we say, okay, now how much can he take of the 40? That's a separate thing because we don't want to kill the guy. But he's still supposed to get 40. 40 is what a guy should get. If he's a weak guy, so 15 is the maximum. That's like 40 for a healthy guy. So it's like, so you don't divide up. Therefore, we can't give the Aiden Zomim 20 and 20.
Yeah.
Right? So that's one answer. While money, you know, just pay back what you owe him. Right? But Rava gives a different answer. Rava Amar Rama says, you know why you got to lash him that way? But inam kasher zomam lasus achiv. You have to give him what he intended to do to his brother. What did he intend to do? What did you intend to do? Give him 40. What did you intend to do? Give him 40. So you both got to get the 40. And if you give him less than that, you split it up. Veleka, you wouldn't have it. So that's there's two answers why we give you the full lashes. Either it's exeris akosif. Once you have that, then we can understand why by money there's no gzeres hakosav. We just pay back together what they owe him, and that's it.
But if each one individual would have done it, he would have paid the full 40 zuz or whatever. So why?
No. Those two different answers. Let's not mix up the answers. Okay, let me, maybe I went a little too quickly here. The first answer is, why do we give him the full lashes? It's a Gzeres HaKosov. It says Russia.
Okay.
Where there is no Gzeres HaKosov, then just between the two of them, just pay the guy what they planned on doing. Because money, you know, you can do half of that. Now we have a second answer. It says you got to give them what they wanted to do. Well, they want to give them 40, so each one has to get 40. Now the real question on the second answer is, by money, each one should give 200, because each one wanted to make him lose 200.
Yeah.
Our answer is no. Mama mitstarev, money can be combined. Malchus lo mitstarev, but lashes does not combine. What does that mean? In the case of money, two half payments combine to form a full payment when they are collected and paid over to the intended victim. He indeed receives the full amount of which they thought to deprive him. Do to them what they plan to do. They plan to make him lose 200, you give him the 200, but each one doesn't have to get 200. Thus, a reciprocal penalty may be said to have been imposed. Remember he said yesterday from Rabbi Chanan, once the Bezdin says there's such a punishment, it's there, it has to happen. When they say 200 has to be paid, they thought it was the accused pays the 200. Even when we know the witnesses are false, the verdict must still be implemented. $200 must be paid. Yeah. Now it just falls on the witnesses, so between the two, they have the 200. In the case of Malchus, there's no point at which the half set inflicted on one can be said to combine with the half set conflicted on inflicting the other. So the lashes are not collected by everyone. It's not like you collect 100, and give 200 to him. What are you going to collect 19 lashes and 19 lashes and we're going to give to the other guy? There's nothing to give. Thus, a reciprocal penalty has not been meted out unless each witness receives a full set of lashes. In other words, reciprocal penalty depends on what you're doing. If you want to take money from the guy, the reciprocal penalty is to give. You want to take away 200? Give him 200. Between the two of you, just give him the 200, and you've given a reciprocal penalty. When it's lashes, when they get lashed, the reciprocal doesn't give anything to the accused.
Yeah.
So let's do to them what they plan to do. Well, the two of you wanted to make the guy lose 200. Well, the two of you, between the two of you, you give 200. But lashing, a lashing of 19 is not a lashing of 39. Not at all. Not at all. Thus, a reciprocal penalty has not been meted out unless each one gets it. Others suggest that lashes given to two different people cannot combine because the pain of each successive lash is progressively worse. Hence, two witnesses, each suffering half a set of lashes, do not together suffer the same amount as one person. They wanted him to suffer 39 lashes. So now it's got to go back to you. You, each one of you has to suffer 39 lashes. Because if 19 is way less pain than 39. But we wanted him to lose the 200. So the two of you have to combine to give the 200. Okay, and that becomes the difference. According to the first answer, they don't ask the question on that. The first answer is, it's Gzeres HaKosov. It's Gzeres HaKosov. By this, we do the same thing as we do the same thing as well. You don't have a Gzeres HaKosov, then you split it up. And that's it. We start a new Mishnah tomorrow. So nice.
And they split the payment between them unevenly. So the one guy is wealthier than the other. So he's got to give 200.
That's a good question. I don't know. I guess it could be.
It could be as long as
it's very simple. The richer guy can just hand the other guy the money.
Yes, as long as the
I'm a rich guy, so I'll give the other witness $100, and then he pays $100. We don't
split the lashes. 40 lashes. I'll take.
You can't split them. You got to get both.
Yeah. You can't give 19 and a half lashes.
You need a thicker guy.
You can give a soft one.